Reserve Bank Governor Lesetša Kganyogo has dismissed quantitative easing as an option to revive the economy. This after ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule announced that a task team would be put together to explore the idea. Quantitative easing helped the US bounce back from the 2008-2009 financial crisis while also saving the EU from the European bond crisis. But given the vast difference in economic fundamentals, is it a viable tool for South Africa to pull out the box? George Glenas, who's MD of ETM Analytics, joins us on the line now with his insights. Thanks so much, George, for your time this evening. So, as I say, we've had the Reserve Bank Governor and ANC heavyweights like Enoch Godongwana, but also Tito Mboweni come out saying that the Secretary General Ace Magashule's statement around the SARB's mandate and quantitative easing are not correct. What's your reading of all that's playing out right now? Because there's still no official statement out from government on the matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we even discussing this issue borders on the ludicrous, to be quite frank. Just drawing any comparison between what developed economies that have got reserve currencies such as America and Europe compared to South Africa, I think is nuts. I mean, the situations are just so completely different. And lest we forget, the main reason why quantitative easing became a tool back in 2009 was not just an issue of potential deflation, as Lesetša Kganyogo mentioned, but it was also because they were in a full-blown credit crisis, and they were looking for ways and means to prop up the banking system, without which we would have had a full-blown global crisis. So the situation is vastly different to that of 2009, and simply drawing comparisons between South Africa and the likes of America and Europe, just because they've used it, therefore South Africa must do the same, is one that's born out of ignorance more than it is a genuine attempt to try and find a solution to South Africa's low growth environment, which by the way has scant little to do with what the Reserve Bank's done and everything to do with how poorly the government has performed.
Okay, so it's nuts, it's ludicrous. Let's take a look at these issues separately, George. Regarding expanding the Reserve Bank's mandate, to include growth and employment, why is there such an aversion to it in South Africa? Why will it not work?
Well, I don't know that a central bank should be focusing just because one or two others around the world have got it in their mandate doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right approach. In fact, one could argue very strongly that that is, in fact, what's led to many of the world's financial crises. So that's the first point to make. The second point to make is we're operating on the assumption that a stable environment does not produce an environment that's conducive to growth and employment. And in fact, I would argue the exact opposite. I would say that a stable price environment, which is something that the Reserve Bank has achieved, is in fact a very good environment for government to be able to produce a growth and employment positive, constructive environment. The problem is that our government just hasn't used that environment that has been created by the Reserve Bank. Again, I'm going to reiterate the point that this issue of poor growth does not sit with a Reserve Bank that's got interest rates at such punitive levels that it's restraining growth. It's got a lot more to do with the fact that government has performed so poorly and that the policies that have been implemented have systematically detracted from South Africa's growth.
And therein lying the market skepticism, as you say, because it becomes clear that the goal is to drive growth through economic policy as opposed to, doing the necessary structural reforms the former being deemed an easy way out. All of this, George, this rhetoric surely didn't just surface overnight. How unnerved are you by the kind of consideration that is going into how the central bank could be used to bail out enterprises and to drive a developmental state agenda?
Well, this developmental state agenda is a bit of an enigma to me, and I don't know that I fully understand what exactly they mean, because nothing could be more transformational than an environment that is growth producing and that is labor absorbing. So one battles to understand how you reconcile a developmental state which is transformational with the state playing a bigger role, when quite clearly the evidence of the past 10 years shows that that hasn't worked. In fact, what should be happening is that we should be looking at ways at making South Africa more business friendly, trying to entice capital to the country rather than chasing it away, adopting policies that encourage investment into the future of the country because confidence and sentiment is so positive. You do that by crowding in the private sector as opposed to crowding it out. Mm-hmm. Government doesn't have to play the biggest role in an economy. In fact, I would say it should play a relatively small role, and it should be business that plays that role. Government should be an enabler of growth, not the driver of it. And of course, the smaller the government at the end of the day, the less of a burden it is on the tax base. So for all of these reasons, I think South Africa has done many of the fundamental basics. They've gotten it wrong. And we're now sitting with major structural deficiencies that have found expression in seriously poor growth dynamics. That was reflected earlier this week with the GDP numbers. And here we sit having this debate around whether the Reserve Bank should now be utilized as a means to grow growth, when in actual fact the real problem sits with the way that government has run its policies and the economy all these years.
Yeah. George, having said all of that, and we're of course using the SARB to stimulate growth and to bring quantitative easing to the mix are not viable solutions at this stage, how much more accommodative can the SARB afford to be? How much looser monetary policy is warranted in the current climate?
Well, let me just first start by saying that I think the Reserve Bank has actually done an amazingly good job. I think that what they've done so far has been nothing short of remarkable in the face of political pressure. I think they've held their nerve and they've done exactly what they were mandated to do. And so again, they've provided the stable backdrop against which good policy could thrive. It's just that policy hasn't been implemented, or decent policy hasn't been implemented. And so there we sit, back in this debate about how much more accommodative the Reserve Bank could be. Perhaps we get an interest rate cut at the next meeting. Perhaps they could be mildly more accommodative than they are right now. But to what end? Another quarter of a percent of the repo rate, even another half a percent of the repo rate, is not going to be the main determinant of what turns this economy around. The problems are far more deep-rooted and bigger than that. And again, focusing too much on the Reserve Bank, I believe, is focusing in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. And that's certainly a sentiment that's been reiterated time and time again by Reserve Bank Governor Lesetja Ganyaho. Let's leave it there, George. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. And of course, George Glinos, who's MD of ETM Analytics.